Good morning. We're going to be in John 14 this morning, verses 23 through 29. I said this last week, but I don't expect you to remember what I said last week, so I'll say it again this week. John 14 is kind of sort of still in the middle of the Last Supper. You don't really get a proper Last Supper in John, but this is the closest you get to it. You get a lot more teaching and conversation, kind of last words, final remarks. It's a good bit of a goodbye dialogue, John 13 through 17 at least. This is a moment in which Jesus is trying to give his disciples what they need to hear before he's not going to be here to help them anymore. And we're in one of those moments right here. We're stepping into this tenderness between Jesus and his disciples here in John 14. This anxiousness, this confusion, it's building. The disciples are listening to Jesus speak of leaving them, of betrayal, of things they just don't fully understand. And it's into that uncertainty that he offers reassurance that they won't be on their own. They're not going to be alone. He promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, who will teach, who will remind, who will bring peace. It's not a farewell, it's a promise of something else, a continuing presence. So as you listen to these words, hear them not only as history, but as a living hope for today, for every day. Jesus speaks not just to them, but to us in the midst of our own questions, our own fears. He offers the same assurance. The Holy Spirit is with us, guiding, comforting, so that we may know God's abiding peace and presence. The word of the Lord from John 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Jesus speaks to his disciples during this Last Supper, this moment filled with both intimacy and impending sorrow. These disciples have followed Jesus for at least 3 years. They've watched him perform miracles. They've heard him teach with authority. They've come to believe that he is the Messiah. He's even taught them how to teach, how to perform miracles. They've seen amazing things together. They've done amazing things. And now he begins to speak in ways that are unsettling. He's always been a little unsettling, but not like this. He talks about going away. He tells them they cannot follow him where he is going. Not yet. He knows that his crucifixion is near, just hours away from getting that ball rolling. And they don't yet understand the full weight of it all. How could you? How could any of them in this moment know that in just mere hours they would start to see the process of crucifying their dearest friend, their world? What they do know is that something is changing, and that's terrifying enough. It fills them with dread. If he's leaving, what happens to them? Will one of them be appointed the new leader? What if it's not the one they think should be the leader? Are they disbanding? Do they go home? Is it all over? Was it for nothing? What will become of this mission that they've begun to grasp, to fight for? He's already told them not to let their hearts be troubled because their hearts are troubled. This is one of those moments, where you don't tell somebody something unless they already need to hear it. You don't say, don't let your hearts be troubled, unless they already are. He speaks of peace because they don't feel it. They feel confusion. He offers assurance because they don't have it. They have uncertainty. Their teacher, their Lord, their friend, the one they rely on for just about everything, including food, because even when they don't have food, he just brings it out of nowhere. That's the guy who's departing somewhere, sometime, eventually, maybe. This moment in this story holds deep emotional tension. It reveals how easily fear takes hold when the future is uncertain, when the presence of Christ feels like it just might be slipping away. The disciples are left with questions in this upper room, a looming absence, and they are feeling, at the very least, vulnerable and unsure. And we don't have to stretch too terribly far to find ourselves having sympathy with these disciples, to understand what they're feeling. We know what it's like to feel uncertain. There are several people in this room who are feeling uncertain on a daily basis because they don't know when they might move, if they might move, what job they might have, what job they won't have, what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. And they thought those days were long behind them, and here we are. We know the tension of holding on to faith, belief, and not just faith or belief in God, but just in general, holding on to hope when life feels unstable. When someone we love is sick, when relationships end, when the world around us seems to be filled with nothing but division and injustice and violence and there are moments when the path ahead just is beyond not clear, it seems blocked. And we don't know how to move forward or to turn around. It's those moments in which many of us quietly wonder, because if you do it out loud, you're afraid somebody's going to think poorly of you. So you quietly wonder, is God still here? Could I even still hear God if he was here? What happens when I feel alone? These are the questions the disciples were asking. They're not recorded because they're quietly wondering these things too. They want direction. They want answers. We want answers. We want comfort. We want clarity. But more than anything, what these disciples want and what we want is some sense of control of it all. And even if we're not the ones who have the control, we just want to know that this is a controlled chaos and not just entropy. And we face silence instead. We get ambiguity. I don't know about you, I am absolutely fed up with ambiguity. I am tired of ambiguous heroes in movies and TV. I am tired of all the morally gray mess that we get for heroes now. I want my heroes to be heroes, to have their heads on straight, to not waffle, to not flounder, to not be human or frail. These disciples had that. They had certainty. They knew the guy who was in control, and that made them feel like they were secure. And now, It's getting ready to walk out of the room, and they can't go with it. For some of us, it's a feeling of being spiritually stuck. When you pray, but you aren't sure if you have good reception, is your signal getting through the ceiling when you're praying in bed at night? Or is it just kind of bouncing around the room like an old DVD logo, and you don't know if God's actually picking up what you're putting out? For others, it's this experience of facing big decisions and wanting divine guidance and hearing no clear voice one way or the other. For still others, it's an ache of grief, a wound that just never healed, the struggle of anxiety, the fatigue of daily burdens. Some of us struggle to get out of bed in the mornings because we just don't have the energy to do any of it anymore. In those seasons, in those upper rooms, with those disciples, it feels as though Jesus has gone somewhere far away. We know the stories, we believe the promises, but you can still know those things and still believe those things and still have days when it feels hard to hold on to anything. The comfort of Christ seems like a memory instead of some sort of present reality. So the question the disciples faced is the same ones that we carry. How do we follow him when we cannot see him? How are we still disciples if he's not here to teach us? How do we live with peace in a world filled with so much fear? And it's into that confusion, it's into that fear that Jesus speaks a promise that does change just about all of it. It just upends the whole dynamic. He says new vocabulary. He says, let me tell you about the advocate. For the nerdy ones out there, this is a new word we see in John. He says, let me tell you about the paraclete. That's the Greek word here. In good Jesus fashion, he doesn't answer their confusion with clarity. He ends up adding more ambiguity because this word doesn't mean one thing. It means like 10 things. He says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, remind you of all that I have said to you. And everybody looks around the room and says, Who's that? What is this paraclete? What is this Holy Spirit? He's not abandoning them, but he is leaving. But he's preparing a way for them to receive something or someone else. And that's supposed to make them feel better. What he's offering them is the very presence of God in a way that's even more personal than sitting in a room with Jesus was. And they just can't wrap their heads around this yet. But this is what they need. This advocate, which means a bunch of different things. It can mean comforter, helper, lawyer, healer, guide. This Holy Spirit, that's what he's sending to them. He's trying to tell them, you're not going to be alone. I'm leaving, but my presence will stay here. All the things that you saw from me, all the things you wanted from me, all the things I gave you, you will still have from me. You just will have it differently. My presence will stay with you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will continue to teach you, to guide you, to remind you all of what he said. And not just in memory, but in a real living truth. So that the next time one of the disciples gets angry that somebody cuts in line at Starbucks, they can hear Jesus tell them one more time to love their enemy. As if he's standing right there with them. And he doesn't just stop there. He adds that he's going to give them peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace, not just any peace, not just any ordinary treaty. I give you my peace, not as the world gives it, something different, something more. The peace of Christ is not shallow, it's not circumstantial. It's deep, it's lasting, it's rooted in the very presence of the Spirit. My bone to pick with the word peace in English, if anybody cares, and I know you don't, is we define peace in English as the absence of something. There's a few things like that in English that we get wrong. Some of them we have to, I understand, but this is one that we get definitely wrong. For the scientists in the room, which I know there are a few of you, we think of peace the same way we do cold. Cold doesn't exist. Cold is not a thing. Cold is just an absence of heat. And that's how we tend to define peace. Peace is the absence of struggle. It's the absence of conflict. It's the absence of, fill in the blank with a negative adjective here. That's not what it is. It is its own thing, we just don't define it that way. So when he says, I'm leaving you peace, he's not saying I'm going to leave you with an absence of conflict. That's a hole. He's trying to fill a hole. The peace that he offers is so much more than an absence of something else. It is its own thing. Specifically, it is the very Holy Spirit of God. And the disciples may not understand all of this yet, but he is assuring them that God is going to stay close even if Jesus isn't physically in the room. That's not just a promise of help. It's a promise of relationship. He's making a way for his followers to continue following, to continue living in the presence of God, not just then, but for all time. The Holy Spirit will be their teacher, their guide, their source of peace. In their uncertainty, he gives them the greatest reassurance. I will not leave you orphaned. God is still with you. I don't think any of them bought it in the moment. And I make that assumption based on how they all run away and scatter in the next few scenes. But they come back around. They experience this, they feel it, they live it. We do the same thing. We don't always buy this, but we do tend to come back around. Because the promise Jesus gives his disciples doesn't end in an upper room. It extends to us today and extends to those tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, is still very much at work in the world and in our lives. Though we cannot see Christ with our eyes, we are not without his presence. The same Spirit dwells within us, whispering reminders of truth in the face of all the lies we are surrounded with, stirring our hearts with conviction when we are too tired to fight, bringing peace when we feel empty and need it most. We experience the Spirit in moments of unexpected clarity, or a scripture that we've read many times suddenly speaks directly to our need, or we see a line in there, or we hear something that we've never seen before. Or a word from a friend lands like just the right word that you need to hear, precisely when you needed it. In worship, in prayer, in quiet moments, when we are surrounded by fear, we find peace that we should not have, but we do anyway. All of these things, all of these moments, this is the Holy Spirit keeping Jesus' promise, reminding us that he's still in the room. And the Spirit empowers us to act, to serve, to speak with compassion, to forgive when we don't want to love those that we really enjoy hating. That same Spirit has taught the apostles and reminded them of Christ's teachings, and still teaches us, and reminds us, informs us, and leads us into a deeper faith, the same way it taught Peter and John. We're not alone. We're in very good company. We have not been abandoned. Christ has sent his Spirit to be with us always, and that presence changes everything. No matter what uncertainty we face, we trust that God is close. The Advocate is still speaking, still guiding, still comforting. So we are not afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The gift of the Holy Spirit is God's abiding answer to every fear. always whispering, I am with you. With us to the very end of the age. It's why we gather around this table week after week. We do this in light of this promise. We gather around this table because he said, I'm leaving you with peace. I'm giving you peace. We receive peace at this table, not just as a feeling, as a person. The very presence of Christ made known to us through the Holy Spirit and offered to us again and again in this bread and in this cup. It's here at this table that we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember a body broken and blood poured out, but more than that, we remember the love that held him to the cross. And we also remember the promises he made, that we are not alone, that the Spirit is with us, and that we are part of something far greater than ourselves. I've been ranting about that all week as I think about this scripture, that the sense of belonging to something bigger than self seems to be fading around us. As we get more caught up in ourselves and in our own individuality, and as we just keep our heads down and stay in our cubicles, this idea that we could belong to something bigger than us seems extinct, like something that belongs in a museum, just an old-timey way that people used to talk in different days. This table reminds us that you belong to something bigger than yourself. You need that. This meal is more than a ritual. It's a sign of the ongoing presence of God. Christ meets us here. The Spirit invites us to come with open hearts, to receive grace, to be nourished in faith, to be strengthened for the days ahead. So come to this table, not because you have everything figured out, and not because you're just supposed to, but because you've been invited to. Come with your questions, bring all your hopes, your doubts, whatever faith you can muster, and find the very Spirit of God. Find that Christ is here. This table is for us to remember the promise that we have never been without Christ, and we are not alone. Let's stand and sing.